Tonight's episode of Radioactive Metal is dedicated to the memories of LA promoter Gina Zamparelli and former Anal Cunt guitarist Joss Martin.
Hey, I'm Lynn.
And I'm Sam.
We're from Ingested and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a normie undigestible episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 507, and I'm Snowy White.
And I'm Aaron. And dear listeners, today's Radioactive Metal podcast has been possessed by the demons within True Cult Coffee. Now, Snowy, you're a True Cult drinker.
I am.
What is your favorite part about True Cult Coffee?
Just the fact that it is made by a metalhead for metalheads. I don't know if anyone has ever kind of figured out my shtick, but I'm the type of guy, okay, that'll go out. Like, if I need to go and, I don't know, get a foot massage or get my hair cut or something, if I find out, okay, well, this metalhead works on the other side of town, or this guy works next door, I'll travel across town just to give the services to a fellow metalhead.
And I will do the same thing.
Yeah, just because. So that obviously, you know, pours over into my coffee consumption, because I could not think of a better brew that I would rather enjoy than True Cult Coffee.
Well, I'm curious though, how often do you get a foot massage?
that's just the first thing that came to my head.
Because you're like, oh, that's right, it's Thursday. Yesterday was Thursday. That was my foot massage day. So it popped into your head. No,
yeah, for sure.
Well,
for sure.
You won't get a foot massage from True Cult Coffee, but you will get the blackest of black coffees if you buy Mjork Helvete. It's a dark roast from Nicaragua that is full-bodied, bold, and smoky with a hint of chocolate. And then, of course, the original roast, the Cafe Storm. And that is, let's see here. Their first roast is from El Salvador. Smooth and elegant, yet strong enough to blow up your planet. So, dear listeners, if you love this show, and we know you do, please head to trve.kvltcoffee.com. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the Instagram. So, trve.kvlt.coffee is the Instagram. And then trvekvltcoffee.com to go place your order today. Tell them Radioactive Metal sent you. And remember, True Cult Coffee, they sell coffee and souls.
Right on.
I can resist.
Right on. Just, oh, for sure. Just what I wanted to hear. Just what I wanted to hear. How is everything going with you this week, my friend?
Oh, my goodness, dude. It's going. I am so happy to be home. I was telling you off air, I've been doing a lot of traveling, so I've actually gotten to spend some time with my family. Getting to hang out with the kids more, you know, just it's been great to be home, but then I do it all again on Sunday.
Ah, so you're just in time to grace our listeners with your presence, because we kind of had an unintentional minor sabbatical the last couple weeks. I guess maybe it'll be three by the time this goes to air. It's just life kind of hit us all at once, and we found ourselves kind of in a schedule and then where we just couldn't, you know, get everything together. Rock is still still busy on his end, and Kareen is dealing with family stuff as well right now. So we send all of the best out to the other half of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
And we sure do. It's been rough all the way around for everybody.
It has, it has. But we are not going to drown in our coffees here. We're not going to cry in our beers. We're going to suck it up, and we are going to get on with the grunt here, because, oh, we got a kick-ass show. We got a kick-ass show. Got a really cool creature feature. Really dig this band. Recently came through town. I got a metric shit ton of stuff to talk about, good and bad. It's been not, yeah, like you said, it's not only been a rough week for us personally, but the metal world itself is kind of grieving, mourning, and just trying to recover with some stuff. So stuff we'll get to, and that we definitely got opinions on. So we'll get going right now.
We've been very busy this week. Here's our metal fix.
So, dude, here's your opportunity to share with us your metal fix.
All right, man. Well, so I got a lot of stuff going on, but it's a lot of little stuff. So you remember I was talking about watches a few episodes back?
Uh-huh.
You know, I've kind of rekindled my watch obsession thanks to Dean Del Rey on the Let There Be Talk podcast. And so now I'm following all these different watch companies and things on Instagram. So guess what metalhead has a watch? And it totally makes sense for this particular metalhead to have a watch, because his band and what he does for his band totally makes sense to have this type of watch. Who do you think I'm talking about?
I don't have a clue.
What if I told you this particular metalhead is also a pilot?
I guess that makes it Bruce Dickinson.
Absolutely. So Bruce Dickinson has a signature watch by this company called Matt Watches, and it's a it's a chronograph, so it's a stopwatch type watch, and it looks gorgeous. Like, it really looks cool. It's got the Ed Force One kind of logo on it. It says Ed Force One. I think it's called the Bruce Aris is what the model number is. It's about $1,000 watch American.
Okay.
Yeah, so I won't be getting it anytime soon, but it's also limited to 666 pieces.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, very appropriate. So once they sell out of that, it's gone. But I've been checking that out, thinking about that. I'm like, okay, what do I need to sell around here? Because there's still a couple guitars I'm going to get first.
No, you're not getting rid of a guitar for a fucking watch.
Oh, this watch? Absolutely would.
Okay.
Absolutely would. Yeah, I mean, I would get another guitar first, which I still plan on doing. But once I've got that guitar figured out, then I'll think about the watch. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then I can't remember, did I talk about the comics I got on Free Comic Book Day?
I don't think so.
It's been so sporadic being on the show with all the travel I've been doing. But I picked up the Iron Maiden comic book. And,
right on.
Yeah, it wasn't a free book. I bought a couple copies, and I still haven't had a chance to read them, but I picked those up, so that's on my to-do list. The new Sleep album, have you had a chance to check it out?
No, not yet.
All right, so Third Man Records put it out. I think I talked about it briefly when the Third Man Record truck came through Charleston. And the Sleep record, dude, I've given this a few listens, and oh, I love it. Like, it's good, you know, like doomy stoner kind of rock. A lot of just noise and static, but like well constructed, well played, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm really digging the Sleep album. And then I have to talk about this. So I know you've already seen the Slayer tour, right?
Well, I have.
All right, so and we said we're going to talk about it once I've seen mine and Corrine's seen hers.
Yes, I'm going to kind of, I've had one hell of a last couple weeks, but some stuff I'm going to hold off that we can talk about together, and that's going to be one. But what's going on?
Well, so check this out. So do you remember when I talked on the show about something I called the cleansing?
I think so, yeah.
When I'd have like a stressful day at work before I would start the day, the last thing I would listen to is Slayer's Rain and Blood. You know, and I jokingly would refer to that as the cleansing with all my coworkers, you know. So check this out. June 8th at the Jiffy Lube Live in Bristow, Virginia, will be Def Leppard.
Okay.
June 9th is Dave Matthews. Guess who's June 10th?
Well, I'm going to deduce the Slayer retirement tour.
You've got it. And so you know what that is, right? It's the cleansing.
Ah.
Like Slayer's got to come in to like wipe that other shit right out.
Definitely, definitely. Right on. And that's the one you're going to be taking in.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to go to because that'll be while I'm traveling. And I mean, it's funny. I had to travel for work to get close to a Slayer concert.
Yeah, well, you got to move all the sticks, dude. Oh,
dude. Believe me, I'm. It's on my radar. I don't think it's on anybody else's radar in my family, but it's been so. Oh, that's what else I wanted to mention, and I'll end this metal fix. But so Corrine, our co-host Corrine, has a website, loudandfierce.com, and I was thinking, I'm like, man, I'm in the DC area. Where do I go to find metal shows? Duh. loudandfierce.com. So thanks to Corrine's website. So Corrine, I hope you're listening. Thank you so much, because I found a bunch of metal shows that are going to be like on Thursday nights, which will be easy for me to get to after work. That I'm going to be able to go check out like local, real local metal somewhere. I'm like stoked, man. I can't wait to go see it.
Right on. Yeah. Jump all over that and, you know, and report back. I'm getting excited for you as to what you're going to be seeing. Yeah, like Slayer is cool, but that actually kind of from me listening to what you're saying on this side of the world, it's like, yeah, I want to know what you checked out locally in that area.
Oh yeah, I can't wait.
For sure.
I'm really
looking forward. All right, man.
All right, man. How about you? What's going on, dude?
Since we last sat down and recorded, I took in a couple shows, like I said, and leading up to our brief hiatus, you know, I was talking about how the Slayer show landed on my birthday, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's cool, but we're going to kind of put that off because, like I said, I want to talk about it with my cohorts here, but the other show is very interesting indeed. Tonight's creature feature, Ingested, came through town pushing their latest record, Level Above Human. And it's like this band, and we're going to hear all about them very soon, brutal British deathcore that I had seen before, didn't get an opportunity to talk to them then, but it's like, okay, you know what, let's check them out now. And live they really delivered, and I gotta hand it to the Winnipeg metal scene for filling the room. You know, I was a little concerned that maybe, you know, there wasn't going to be a lot of people for this, and sometimes I end up playing the ambassador, you know, with bands that come through. Like, I'm the first person that they talk to, whether I'm helping them with gear or doing an interview afterwards. And yeah, sometimes I get bands saying, yeah, what's it going to be like tonight? And you're like, there should be lots of people here. You know,
why you're the mayor of Winnipeg. Sorry. That's why I call you the mayor.
I guess so. Because there are just times where I know the show is going to tank. Either because there was a show on the weekend and everyone went there, and this show would, you know, whatever, Band X is playing on a Tuesday and people are old and they can't come out on a Tuesday night. And it's just, it's like, this show is going to tank. But everyone came out for Ingested. It was really cool. Now, this week, I started the weekday portion of the week off with the Black Dahlia Murder tour coming through town. That was awesome. Really wicked bill with Homewrecker as well. And if you're not, everyone knows who Black Dahlia Murder is. We've had them on the show. I'm not going to get into too much about it. It's just, I was going to the show regardless, but Homewrecker, you know, that was the band that was really selling the show for me. They're a really cool, you know, thrash death metal band predominantly, but their roots lie within the hardcore scene and all that. So they definitely was a band that came on my radar, you know, selling their records at the old War on Music shop and all that. And they have since come through town since then. And it's a band that if you haven't, you know, sunk your teeth into, dude, this is definitely a band to get onto. And as well, Winnipeg hardcore band and Escapist Recording Artists Withdrawal were on the bill as well. And they're always a good time live. If you're into hardcore music, that's definitely something those boys are definitely a band you're going to want to check out as well. The following night, on the big, bad, dreaded Tuesday night, Prosthetic Records Recording Artists, the Atlas Moth came through town. And now this, who I don't know if how familiar you are with this band, but they're kind of, they're a real mixed mash of a lot of different genres. And I think that they come up with their own unique, heavy, heavy sound. Now, I was kind of on the fence with this one. I wasn't too sure if I was going to make it. And like the Black Dahlia show was just the night before, talking about, you know, shows that you know are going to tank.
Yeah.
Everyone, the room was packed for Black Dahlia, which I'm kind of surprised. So horns up. I say that because Black Dahlia were just here 8 months ago or so. And now they're back again. The show's on a Monday. Okay, so I'm kind of a little nervous. Like, I just saw them 8 months ago. You know, I don't know. It's Monday night, and I'm old. I don't know if I should, if I'm going to go to this. No, the place was packed.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. You know, horns up to, you know, my local Winnipeg metal scene for packing the joint. Now, that said, horns down, because the next day there was nobody at the Atlas Moth.
Aw, man.
Okay, now I took, I didn't really get there until, you know, the headliner was going on. And it's like, man, I guess not counting, I know there was myself, there was a few other guys that were on the guest list and all that. There was less than two dozen people there. Wow. to see this awesome band. And one of the really cool highlights about it is the two gentlemen that I was hanging out with there. One, Mr. Chuck Labossiere, who I've had on this show in one of his bands and all that. Him and his bandmate in the band Votov, Mr. John Duke, you know, they're veterans of the scene. I remember, oh, geez, those two guys were my very first interview ever back when I was doing an old black and white cut and paste fanzine.
That's cool.
More than 25 years ago. Yeah, these guys are still in the metal scene with me, and people might remember me talking about Mr. Labossiere when Broken Hope came to Canada to do a Canadian tour. Their singer at the time couldn't make it across the border. They needed a singer. They tapped our good buddy Chuck. Right? He went on tour singing for Broken Hope across Canada. When I got to the venue, you know, I was kind of surprised to see him because I don't think the Atlas Moth are really the type of band for him.
Yeah.
He said, well, no, not really. But the drummer, Mr. Mike Mixick, Okay, he was the drummer in Broken Hope when I did vocals for them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, okay. That's really cool. That's really cool. Extra reason to come out and check out the Atlas Moth. You know, and we got a special bonus from them as they were doing their entire record, their entire latest record, available now. Coma Noir, they did their whole set was the entire record, pretty much out of necessity, because Mr. Mitzik, that was the only thing he knew at the time. He's relatively new to the band. Yeah. He only knew the one record. So we got a bonus of the full record and to see Mr. Mitzik from Broken Hope play. So like, wow. Wow. Like, shame on everyone else for not showing up for this. You know, the funny thing about that, too, after the show, I'm on my way home, and I've, in my backpack, I've always got some metal magazine on me, whether it's a Disciple or a Zero Tolerance, or, like, I'm always packing. I'm always packing a metal magazine with me. I'm about a month behind on the Disciples, and I'm on the bus going home. I crack it open. Every month they have that Metal Mothers.
Yep, the Metal Mothers.
The Metal Mothers, yeah, who we've talked about on the show. Well, goddamn it, if Mike Mizik's mother isn't in that issue. And I'm like, oh, jeez, I just saw this dude.
How,
like,
cool is that, man?
Yeah, that was right off the hook. So I'm really excited to be dropping a Atlas Moth track here soon enough. Some really cool records across my desk include Vancouver's Baptists. Really cool growing record. Their latest record, Beacons of Faith, is out now. We should drop a track from them as well. I really love the new Nocturnal Graves record. This is one of those, I don't know what you would call them, that there's a sub genre of metal called war metal, which is basically a whole whack of brutal death bands out of Australia. Leading the pack is Nocturnal Graves. Their latest record, Titan, is available now. And this, God, they've got current and ex-members of like Toxic Holocaust, Destroyer 666, Impious Baptism, just all sorts of wicked stuff. I'm really digging this band. And New York hardcore band World Demise, their self-titled record came across my desk. And I love that shit. I just love that street level New York hardcore and all that. Like, that really gets my gears going. For sure. I had a lot. There was just so much else that I want to talk about. So I'm going to forego some other stuff to kind of get into some cool tunes and get on with tonight's creature feature. So how about a song from Atlas Moth from the Coma Noir record? This is Actual Human Blood. That's a cool record. From the new Baptist record, Beacons of Faith, that is Capsule. God, I want to see this band live.
Dude, so do I. That Baptist track is right up my alley, man. That's the kind of shit I like.
Yeah. And I don't think they've ever crossed Canada just yet. But, you know, like, they're on a reputable label, and, you know, it's just about time. Just about time that they cross Canada. And when they do, I will do everything that I can to get them on Radioactive Metal. Because, yeah, you're right. That is a killer band. And it's just, really, really, really stoked for that new record.
Yeah, I hope track.
I hope everyone is really stoked for the Devastation on the Nation tour that is going on right now as we speak. This year's edition is being headlined by Aborted, Psycroptic, and tonight's creature feature, Ingested, will be terrorizing the nation, shall we say. But before they jumped onto that tour, they went and did a little bit of headlining to get interest going about their new record, Level Above Human. So when they recently came through town, I was definitely quick to sit down with guitarist Sam Yates and drummer Lynn Jeffs, who we had a very, very entertaining and eye-opening chat. And, you know, like I said, really, really eager to push the new record, which is available now. So to get us to tonight's creature feature, how about we drop the first single from said record? This is tonight's creature feature, Ingested, with Invidious.
Yeah! that's obviously the elephant in the room with you guys, is you guys are out on tour right now, pushing the new record, Level Above Human. Yeah. April 27th, it just came out, so it's still fresh on the new release rack, so I guess you guys must be pretty excited.
Yeah, it's been a good tour so far. We started about a month ago.
Okay.
We started a 9-day UK tour. Before we flew out to Mexico. We did 4 shows in Mexico. It was the first time I've ever been to anywhere south of North America, basically. They worked really well, and we've been on this tour now for two weeks.
Well, I heard 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, so we got a little bit left of this tour. So this is really the headline tour for Level Above Human, so we're playing a lot of tracks off the album this tour. And then we'll be heading out with Aborted, Psychoptic, Disentomb for Devastation on the Nation, which is straight after this. So we've got a pretty hectic touring schedule at the moment. But
Right on. It's still a fresh record, but have you had some response for it so far, press and fans?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I mean, the shows have been amazing so far throughout the whole tour, so that's a good indication that it's going well.
Right.
We hit the Billboard charts last week as well, which is a first for us. So.
Right.
It's been received really well. But I mean, we thought it would do well. When we finished doing the album, when we started getting mixes back, we had an idea that it would do well. But it's I think it's still going better than what we thought, to be honest.
Yeah. So it's exceeded expectations, but you know, it's just still not. Still not good enough. We need to do more.
Yeah, we want to keep going. We want to keep building. You know, we're never happy with just. We always want to progress. Always, right. We're prepared to work hard and tour as much as we can. So, you know, this year is big for us, I think.
We've been going for
12 years now. This is our fourth album, so. We're putting a lot into this at the moment.
First time that we've actually, you know, said that we're going to do it full time and we're going to actually go for it rather than, you know, just doing what we can around our lives. It just seems like we've all put the chips in now, so.
This is your life.
This is it now.
This is it. Well, I'm glad I'm here to help. I'll do it all I can to help you guys out. Within the context of your music, and just maybe for your own personals as well, what would you say is a level above human? Like within the lyrics, what is a level above human?
Sarah, more for you, since you wrote those lines.
I'd say that as a concept, really, it's just about, we write lyrics that are quite, I guess people would call them arrogant or, you know, self-involved, narcissistic lyrics, I guess. It's just, we wanted to have this overall idea of being like, every album has this sort of step where we're trying to, it's like a progression of ideas, of strength and sort of becoming the best you can be, and I think that this record really represents that. You know, it's sort of, for us, it's like, if you read through the lyrics on the album, it's just like consistent progression into this sort of idea that we wanted this album to center around the fact that we were, like, the idea of a cult, really. Like, we wanted to sort of give it the aesthetic of a cult and
being your own entity.
Yeah, and just our lyrics are quite, although they can come across arrogant or narcissistic or whatever, I think that they're quite empowering if you want to listen to them that way. They're all quite easily, they're easily digestible in a way that you can interpret them and make them your own and make them about becoming your own better person. And I guess that's the sort of way that we want to go with it, be more ambiguous but sort of still have this sense of higher power, I guess.
Right on. And that's kind of a personal level as well. Like, that's kind of the way you
say
it.
There's some personal things on there. Some general things on there. Just, she wanted to write a good record, and some of it's drawn from personal experience, some of it's completely based in fantasy. It's just quite a mixed bag, really. Some of it for everyone.
Right on. This record, I believe, is your debut with Unique Leader.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, the last one you were with Century Media.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why the switch? Although, personally, I think you guys are a better, as much as we love Century Media, okay, you guys are personally a better fit within Unique Leader.
We agree.
So, like, what happened?
Yeah, we agree. I mean, Century Media was a fantastic label. We still are. We had a very, very good A&R at Century Media when we first signed with them. When they got took over by Sony, a few of the people that worked, so we worked with Century Media, they kind of started leaving, and our kind of relationship broke down a little bit. So we started speaking to other labels, and Unit Leader was really at the top of our list. We built a really good relationship with Eric straight away. He understood what we wanted to do. We understood that he was going to put everything into this album and into our touring cycle and what we wanted to do. So for us, it was just a perfect marriage. And we've been fans of Unit Leader since we were kids.
Since you were kids. Yeah. Holy jeez, how old are you guys?
I guess you still got the Unit Leader shirts from when
probably about 14, 15.
About 14, 15. Wow, okay. We've been big fans of Unit Leader for a long time.
Right on. Which kind of makes me think, and I don't want to say bidding war or anything, but did you, after leaving Century, like, was it just straight to Unique?
Yeah, we spoke to a couple of labels, but yeah, we spoke to a couple, but Unique Leader really had...
They had more of our best interest in mind.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think with a label like that, your band would get like some pretty top priority come record release time, while Century Media might be going, we've got this big band that we got to deal
exactly.
with.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The first single, Invidious, if I'm pronouncing that properly. Cool song, excellent, good choice. But one of the things that I've often thought about brutal death metal and deathcore, whatever you guys want to call yourself, it's all good to me. How did you guys decide this is the song? Like, because it's all brutal, you know? So how do you decide? Because it's not like, well, this song has market potential. This one we can get radio play.
It's almost impossible to get radio play with the type of, you know, curse words we have in our songs anyway, you know, and it's so relentless anyway, you know, a lot of our tunes. But I don't know, it just stood out, didn't it?
It's just a catchy song, you know?
Yeah, it was just a catchy tune. It was the right length, we think. We had an idea for a video, for it as well. We just thought it was a good representation of the album straight off the bat. But as you listen more to the album, there's a lot of depth there. It's not just going to be hard hitting tunes, but like Invidious,
it sticks out as a good single. But in the context of the album, it works well as well. I think it's the most. It's a song that sort of would. It fits the sort of archetype of a single more than, say, the rest of the songs.
Yeah.
I think that the rest of the songs, although they are, in my opinion, they are good on their own merit, I think that they all fit into the jigsaw a bit better of the album, whereas
Invidious
seemed like it could stand on its own and be more of a memorable sort of song that, you know, I mean, we were debuting it on our last European tour, and the bands that we were touring with were all walking around going, and I mean, that just says it all really for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want it to stick in people's heads. You want people to remember your tunes. And
it's a catchy song
that sticks out a bit more.
Right on. And when you guys finally decided, okay, this is the song we're going to go with, like, it's with working with a label like Century Media, I'm sure you would have had to get it past like five other people, and then they would have to say, yeah, okay, let's go with this or not. And I guess basically you walked into Century Media and said, this is it.
Yeah.
I like that artistic freedom you guys would have. Yeah,
I mean, Century Media they never stifled creative freedom or anything like that. They were really good to us when they were good to us, and then, you know, key players left, and then that was it. I mean, it's just the way that things go. It's not no bad blood between us, but it seemed like they just couldn't put the time into us anymore, and that's a shame.
Yeah, it's just a better fit for us.
Wow, I think the good thing the best thing for us in this city is, like, you guys are here, and I think that's because of the switch. So I'm not arguing. What made you guys decide you wanted to do this? Like, which artists, which made you guys want to pick up your instrument?
In the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We were just geeks. We were just, like,
total. We were obsessed with brutal death metal when we were all younger. We used to go to a lot of shows together. That's kind of how we met, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Liked a lot of the same bands. And we just started jamming, really. That was kind of it. I mean, you guys had a band before. I had a different band, and then we kind of formed Ingested together. We just wanted to write tunes. Like any band starts, you know, you just want to play a couple of shows, and, you know, if you get a good reaction, then, you know, you want to see how far you can push it. And it's just, you know, we've been through ups and downs over the years. I think, you know, but we've progressed as much as we can now, and we just want to keep going and going and going. But band, in terms of influences, bands has always been really, like, back in the day, like Devourment, Dying Fetus, Hatebreed, you know, and all the hardest bands.
I mean, we've all got a big breadth of influence from everywhere. As we get older, we listen to more sort of, you know,
we focus more now on writing songs than writing, being like the fastest band or the brutal band or the heaviest but band. We just want to write great tunes, memorable songs that, you know, touch people, basically, and they remember what's going on, and we can put on a good live show. You know, if we could tick all the boxes, then yeah, it helps us.
Right on. You mentioned 12 years now as a band, and I believe this is like record number 4th full length now, or something, 4th or 5th. So you guys are kind of at that point where you're still out there trying to make a name for yourself, but you're veterans now.
Yeah, so it's like, kind of weird, actually.
Where do you see yourself? Are you the young guns, or are you the grizzled veterans?
No, it's strange, because I think this is the first tour we've done in a long time where we've said it, like, within the first couple of weeks, we're just like, we feel fucking old. We feel old now, like, you know. We're talking with some, you know, great bands, Los Angeles Warm, fantastic, and Body Snatcher, you know, killing it every night, but there's not a massive age difference between us all, but we just feel like we've been around a lot now. So I think we're starting to probably feel a bit older than young guns.
Say we're starting to feel established rather than like,
but for the first time I think old. We feel current as well. I think we're starting to feel like a real current band. So even though I think we've got a bit of experience, we're starting to feel older within the scene. I think it's the first time where we actually fit smack bang in exactly what's going on at the moment within the scene. It's probably the first time that actually happened as well.
What would you say is your overall career highlight right now? Just if you could narrow it down.
On Justin's mind.
Yeah. We played a hometown show, played it in Pericon Fest.
When was that? 2000?
A couple of years ago.
About three years ago. And like, yeah, it was a Pericon Festival.
Suicide Silence, Whitechapel playing. And we played in front of a home crowd show of about 2,500 people.
Yeah, it was the biggest crowd that we had. It was nuts. Yeah, that was pretty good.
I think that right now, we're sort of gearing up for all the best stuff we've done in a long time. Like, we've got a good festival run coming up in Europe. We're playing Brutal Assault, which is like going to be 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking forward to that. I mean, and I think that that's, we've had some good highlights, but I think that's, I think where we want to go.
I think this year as a whole is going to be a massive highlight, just from front to back.
Just in general.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think we'll get to the end of the cycle and we'll be like, right, yeah, the whole thing was just a huge highlight. So,
And finally, I'll let you guys get on with your evening here. I'm just kind of curious, what's like the UK death metal scene like right now in your eyes?
Touch and go. Yeah, it's kind of weird, the UK metal scene. It kind of peaks and troughs very often, you know, all the time, really. I mean, our tour went really well in the UK. We were actually quite surprised how well it went, because we've done a lot of tours over the years in the UK, and sometimes the turnout is not like great, but not even just our shows. We might go to other shows ourselves, you know, even, you know, bigger bands that we look up to, and the turnout would be great. And we were like, well, where is everyone? You know, but it's weird. It kind of comes in cycles, doesn't it? Where, you know, different types of metal become popular at different times, and there's never really just a whole scene of metal. It's not a very what's the word?
Unified?
Yeah, unified. It's not a unified metal scene in the UK. It's very...
Pockets of...
Yeah, it can be a bit bitchy sometimes, a bit divided. Which is unfortunate, really, because there's a lot of good bands in the UK. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good bands, and Fanboy Ruination are doing really well. Osaya are doing really well at the moment. So there is a lot of good bands in the UK, but it's just... I think people's mentality needs to get out of this whole kind of... Oh, it's deathcore, it's death metal, it's black metal, it's grindcore way. If it's good, just enjoy it and just go to the shows and just support the bands. I think you guys do a lot better over here, to be honest. It seems a lot more unified than metal scene in Canada and America than it is in the UK, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Available now on Unique Leader Records, Ingested's Level Above Human. Run, don't walk. Go pick that record up. And if you're lucky enough to have the Devastation on the Nation tour in your area, get all over it. We've had Aborted on before. We've had Psychroptic on. We've now got Ingested on the show. I'm happy. I cannot complain.
Yeah, and that was a pretty badass track too, man.
Oh, it is. It definitely was. And they were a great bunch of guys, really eager to chat. And fully, fully worth all of your time and intention and attention. Oh, we mentioned at the top of the show, it has not been a very good week within the metal world. It seems like, you know, when we have to take a sabbatical, like the world just goes to shit.
I agree, man. I can't believe all that shit that happened.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, the first thing that really comes to mind, we lost one Gina Zamparelli.
That was heartbreaking. It seemed like she went downhill so fast. And I mean, to lose such an important pillar of the metal community that was so important to so much of the music that we love or influenced other bands that we love, you know?
Like there are so many people that just that owe her so much that just would not be who they are. And we've had her on the show. We had you know, an amazing conversation with her. I know Rock has as well, kind of, you know, did some Facebooking with her throughout those years since we had her on. And I thought of her, and I still do. I thought of her as a friend of mine. And just a little while ago, I remember, I don't know if Rock said it on the show, but if he said it to me personally, he said, "I can't imagine you, Snowy, ever crying." And I'm going to say, when they announced that Gina had left us, I sat in my living room by myself, and Snowy cries. Snowy cries.
Dude, it's a tough moment, man. I mean, you know, and the funny part is, like, the normies, which we're going to kind of talk about here in a minute, I think, they don't get when, like when I was trying to explain people why I was so moved when Lemmy died. I'm like, well, you didn't know. I'm like, no.
But
that man over 40 years touched my life repeatedly, either by himself with his music or with the influence he did for other bands or writing songs for other bands. I mean, you know, when I think about all the things that I've enjoyed over the years, Lemmy was a huge part of that. Same thing with Gina. You know, like that, you know, we never met her, but she was a very important part of our musical lives, you know.
We've had artists and people on this show that knew her personally as well, like mutual friends, you know. So it's like, yeah, it was really rough. It was really rough. So with all of that going down, when I heard that Venom Inc. now, I guess, Mantis had a heart surgery where doctors had to fight just to keep him alive.
Dude.
Like, that was rough. And right now, Ralph Santola from, you know, he's been in a variety of bands that we know and love, Deicide, Obituary, Death. He's just, you know, one of these, you know, people that are just such a big part of the underground metal scene. He's in a coma right now after suffering a heart attack. So, like, our best wishes and horns to these two individuals, you know, the best, you know, for them. because we want these guys with us for a long time as well, you know. So yeah, and on a more selfish note, like at the end of the summer, you know, I have Venom Inc. coming here. Venom is the band that put metal, you know, into my life.
Yeah, you've mentioned it several times on this show.
Oh, and I always will, like, because, you know, if there was no Venom, there would be no Radioactive Metal. But I've never seen them live, any sort of incarnation live, and this is one of those few bands that I haven't seen live. King Diamond being the other one. I've not seen King Diamond or Merciful Fate in any way, shape, or form yet. And sometime in my life, I have to see these bands. And I'm afraid, you know, now with what is happening with Mr. Mantis, are they going to make it up here? But more importantly, I want this gentleman to be with us for a hell of a long time. So horns up, you guys. You know, don't stop the fight. Keep it going.
Yeah, keep fighting.
With that, we had another death. Okay, and unfortunately, when we have to announce these deaths, it's either a car accident, you know, on the road, or just poor health over because of hard living over the years, or just sometimes it's just one of those things like what happened with Ms. Zamparelli. But we lost a former Anal Cunt guitarist, Josh Martin, as well, in one of the most bizarre deaths. And now we're going to have a little conversation here, and I'm going to preface this. We are not making light of anything we are about to say.
Not at all.
This is tragic. I once considered myself an Anal Cunt fan, okay? And as well, Mr. Martin most recently kept me very entertained when he told his side of the story on the Direct Input podcast, okay, which is hosted by none other than Josh Staples from Abnormality. I fucking love that show. Okay, he told his side of the story because of what happened recently in Providence at a Gene Simmons solo show. Do you know of the events in which I'm speaking?
No, you mentioned it off air, but that was the first I'd heard about it.
Okay, there was something that came up within the metal news about in Providence, Rhode Island, during a solo show of Mr. Simmons. He was being presented a key to the city by the mayor. Okay, to which there was some heckling going on by some guy up in the first balcony. Well, Mr. Simmons had stopped everything, asked that the house lights be turned on, went upstairs and confronted said heckler, who turned out, I could not believe this when I heard about it. It's like, this is so awesome. It turned out that said heckler was none other than ex-Anal Cunt guitarist Josh Martin. Like, wow, I would have loved to have been standing right there, okay, about with what went on. Now, I'm going to direct everyone to the Direct Input podcast to get Mr. Martin's side of the story. But from what he told and from what I knew of the incident and all that, Wow. What a great story like that was. Everyone go and check that out. Okay, but the reason we are discussing this right now is Mr. Martin did tragically leave us through a most unique situation. He was tragically killed in an escalator accident.
Now, this is not like Mallrats, ladies and gentlemen. This is not the kid that gets stuck in the escalator.
No, but you're not the first person that made a reference to that. It's like when they announce it, it's like, okay, someone is going to mention that. Sure enough, it wasn't 30 seconds later after I'd heard about this, someone else had made reference to that.
That damn kid's playing on the escalator again.
On the escalator, yeah. So this is why I wanted to preface this with, you know, we're not mocking him, we're not making fun of him. It's tragic. It's just, this is such a bizarre event.
All right, so let's talk this through. Snowy, have you ever slid down an escalator?
I have not. I like to bug my wife by saying someday I'm going to take my skateboard, take old Betsy down the railings and all that. And then she just goes, yeah, just why are you talking like that?
And that makes sense, right? That'd be something you do. Now, have you ever been tempted to slide down the side of like an escalator?
All the time. All right. All the time. Yeah. Now,
as a teen, right? And I mean, you know, I was 18 at the time, so I was pretty stupid. There's a mall in Pittsburgh called the Northway Mall. If anybody Googles it, you'll be able to see the escalator that I slid down and also fell off of. And I sent you the picture. You know, it was a pretty good drop.
Uh-huh.
But so they had like these really big like edges on the side, so you could fit on it. It was polished pretty well. And so I slid down because, you know, I think somebody dared me to, and it worked really well the first time. I made it the whole way down. I'm like, oh, that was awesome. Well, the second time, I only made it about halfway down before I fell off.
Oh.
But thankfully, like, I, being a Boy Scout and, you know, being somebody that grew up in the, you know, the 70s and 80s where stunt guys were kind of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did kind of assess it and say, okay, I could fall. I made sure that I was, you know, positioning my body weight so I didn't fall back, crack my head. I landed on my hands and knees, which still hurt. But I mean, it was better than if I would have like fell flat on my back and cracked my head, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, how would you describe the escalator that Mr. Martin fell from?
Dangerous for what he was doing. Like, yeah, like it was, it's,
like thin rails, very, very open.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What did you say it was, what, did it look like it was probably two or three levels even?
From what I saw, there was one level and then going one way and then going up to a second floor. Right beside it,
yeah.
But kind of like it's going up for two levels, and sure. There's lots of room there, shall we say, for accidents.
Yeah, and I'll be interested to see, like, when the coroner report comes out, I want to know if he was high, because I can't picture anybody, like, even, you know, even my 18-year-old self wanting to mess around on that escalator. There's not a lot of room for anything. There's not a lot of room for margin. It's very easy. Like, I'd be nervous to ride down it just normally for as open and thin as everything is. Like, it doesn't feel very protected just to look at it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to know more to the story. Like, I feel like this story has been sensationalized because I feel like the media is really kind of calling out, like, oh, look, it's a dumb metalhead. That's how I take the underlying theme.
Well, yeah, like, there's that. And people wonder why I say the things I do, because there's that metalhead prejudice, that punk rock prejudice that just fucking normies have.
Well, and that's what I wanted to point out. So not only, you know, like, did you shared on the Perp, right? Like, one of the metal sites. So not only did this make the metal news sites, but this also made national news sites like Fox News, people like big news outlets are running this story.
Mm-hmm.
So it got me thinking, Vinny Stigma, you were mentioning New York hardcore earlier, right? So Vinny Stigma, Agnostic Front, a couple years back, and you're the one who talked about this story on the show. Vinny, at what, 60 years old? It was in Melbourne, Australia, sees a kid break loose from his mom. So not even in his own home country, right? you know, not even somebody that he knows, sees a kid break loose, kid runs into traffic, kid's in danger. Vinny takes off like a shot, gets the kid out of the line of fire, and like gets clipped by the vehicle on his boots, right? Saves the kid. Mm-hmm. Not a single major news outlet covered that.
Oh no, because it shows aggressive music in a positive light.
Like, that pisses me off. You know, we're going to talk about this guy falling off the escalator, which is a tragedy. But like, mm-hmm. Vinny Stigma, you know, and again, when you say aggressive music, like one of the originators of aggressive music, you know, a pillar of the New York hardcore scene, like this guy's a badass, right?
He is.
Risk his life for a complete stranger.
And, on the other side of the world, yeah.
And isn't that what, you know, every side of the political argument always says, well, we need to reach out to our fellow man. We have to help one another regardless of race, religion, creed, blah, 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 blah. So this guy does it. Well, we can't talk about this. He has tattoos. Like, what the hell? Uh-huh. You know?
He's one of those weirdos.
Yeah. Oh, he does what for a living? No, we can't talk about this.
No, you know, no. But this metal musician did something stupid and all that. But you know what? I don't even remember if it was TMZ or whatever, fucking WNBC or whatever bullshit.
WNBC.
whatever bullshit mainstream news site. I saw this on, apart from the metal, you know, sites that, you know, covered this fairly, you know, I was checking one of them. I was checking one of the normie ones out, and it's like, you watch, none of these are going to mention the name of the band. Okay. And sure enough, I'm reading it, and it's like, oh, yes, Josh Martin had this escalator accident. Who is in a local grindcore band.
Yeah, I saw those.
Just the fact that they said grindcore, that kind of blew me away. It's like, no way, because I would totally expect them to go, yes, Mr. Martin, who is in a local rock band. Yeah. Like, that would what I would expect.
Like he played, you know, Bon Jovi or something.
Yeah, like, but there's no way that I would ever expect them, like, to mention the band name. But sure enough, one of the last sentences, they actually dropped the AC bomb, where they said anal, because I guess you can, that word's not so bad. But of course, cunt isn't a word that they use very much, obviously. Now, they did the little blanking of the last three letters.
Yeah.
You got the basic gist. That I was really surprised. I was really surprised about that. So I kind of got to give them a little bit of credit there, but no, for the most part, it's like, yeah, when someone does something dumb, we got to get all over it. We got to exploit metal and hard rock and punk and hardcore and all that, but when something good is done, well, it's just not newsworthy. And that is why Snowy is the way he is, and that is why Snowy says the things that he does.
I'm the same way, man, because I mean, there's a lot of positive things that happen in the community, and I mean, I think that metalheads are probably one of the more diverse communities across the world. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's so many things that draw us all together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. Just, you know, it's a bummer.
It is. And of course, Radioactive Metal gives our condolences to, you know, both the Zamparelli and the Martin families.
Yeah, what a tragedy.
That's too bad. Yeah. Just all around. But from we're looking at, you know, the clock on the wall here, it's just about that time to get on out of here. We're gonna go out. Let's go out on that new Nocturnal Graves record. That's really good. We'll go with the song Soul Tribulation. Well, thanks, dude. Thanks for showing up and hanging out with me and chatting, you know, all of the good and the bad. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a normie undigestible episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.